Good evening, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Common Geeking Program, a book club or common reading program podcast, where each week, three of us read up on a topic and then discuss it from geeky, nerdy perspectives. This week, I am your host, Patrick Brim, and we will be discussing Dungeons & Dragons, the nerdiest fucking thing possible. We gonna get all up in there with our Nat 20s. All right, I'm joined by two people, each of whom has selected a domain may or may not have been 5 minutes before recording this, but they think that connects to our topic and theme this week, and they are Eddie than Jeff.
Oh man, I gotta go first. You did this on purpose.
I did.
To test you, to make sure you actually selected it 5 minutes ago and not right this second.
Hello, my name is Edward Ryan. Yes. And
yes,
today I will be reffing the Elder Scrolls series by Bethesda Games.
I'm really happy you didn't decide to snake me right there and just steal my domain.
I thought about it.
Man, I was really hoping someone would like do the Telltale series or some shit, but
That would have been a good idea.
I've only moderately played The Wolf Among Us and no other Telltale series, so I would not be good to rep that such thing.
Fair enough.
But hi, my name is Jeff.
My name is Jeff.
Jeff, what's your shirt say?
And today I am repping Pokemon yet again. I've done it a couple times now, but
it's so goddamn good.
It's a good boy.
What's your shirt say, Jeff?
All right. We're going to start the hour by summarizing Dungeons & Dragons and the two aforementioned domains before we openly move to the discussion. Finally, we will close with the rating section where I will rate performance of one of these fine gentlemen and they will also rate my topic. We will be determining who best contributed and whether or not Dungeons & Dragons as a topic was enjoyable.
Pat, can I let you know something right off the bat?
Yeah.
Great job hosting so far.
Thank you. That was it?
I mean, I agree.
No, that was it. That was the whole deal.
Oh, sick. Yeah. Nice. Thanks. Well,
he's just trying to be a kiss ass.
No, I'm not. He's doing a great job.
We were incredibly...
Listen, have I ever said that to him before?
Hold on. We were... No, you haven't. We are incredibly under time, so if there's any more praise you would like to throw my way, let me know. We got 2 minutes and 15 more seconds.
You know what? Why don't we gift that time to the editors and move on to the next section?
Fair enough. I don't understand why they give 5 minutes for the opening.
Because have you heard the people who are on this podcast?
Yeah. But I feel like we're kind of some pretty verbose people. But anyway, we can move
on. We're literally having a conversation right now about the fact that we have more conversation to have. Are you fucking kidding me? Of course we can pick up 2 minutes.
All right, let's do it. So, like I said, I brought the topic of Dungeons & Dragons for this week's topic. It is seen as probably the most widely accepted nerdy or geeky thing that most people don't end up getting involved with in their life. It's like one of the things that people use in other forms of media to show, wow, this motherfucker's like really weird. He likes to go into a basement and roll dice with his friends, like doing imaginary shit. But
yeah, it's a little stigmatized.
Yeah, and it sucks because it's actually an incredibly fun game. It has so many different things that make it great in the sense that you get to choose whatever you want to do. The game mechanics let you try whatever your mind can come up with, and then it's up to you to roll well enough to do it. But more in line with the story is what I want to start out with. You can either play officially released content from Wizards of the Coast or from any other third-party site, or you can
like
make
Pathfinder.
Yeah, you can make your own thing. And actually, like, the third-party sites do make their own things, and it just happens that they hire people who have experience in storytelling and world-building, that it's really enjoyable content, and that gets cult followings. Like, Pathfinder became such a big thing that it's one of the most popular ways to play Dungeons & Dragons, and it wasn't Wizards of the Coast's plan for that to happen.
So D&D, right, like, the setup is that you have one person who's in charge, and they're called either the Dungeon Master or the Game Master,
yeah,
depending on
what game
which version...
Playing.
Yeah.
Depending on which game you're playing, right?
So,
and they basically are like, I mean, they're not like the god in the world where it's like, you know, they're a known deity or something, but they're basically forming the world.
If
and
the world is a book or a movie or a story, they're the author.
Or honestly, like, it's, I would make it more akin to like, if Dungeons & Dragons was a video game, the DM would be the, like, the actual game functions, like the actual
the engine. Yeah.
It's actually, to, if I can, something that Griffin McElroy, I believe it was him, that's said once that I thought resonated well as like a good explanation of D&D. It's like you're telling a story in which the characters can do whatever they want and you have no control over them. So sometimes your story works out and other times it doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you don't build enough like side quests or other possibilities for the characters to go on, they could just completely bypass what you were planning for them to do, and then you're just like stuck like a fish out of water. So
it takes a good mix of planning and improvisation.
Yeah, so it's a learning experience all around. Like Jeff said, the Dungeon Master is kind of like the game engine insofar that they are the ones who have all of the knowledge, and they're the ones who are facilitating that knowledge being transferred to the player, as well as being the one to interpret the rules and decide the outcomes, I guess, based on what the characters roll. So each player character, you can have parties that range from 2, even 1, all the way up to like 6, 7, 8, however many you feel like. And each player picks a race, a class. They get to design their whole character however they want to based on different groupings that were decided by Wizards of the Coast. So like,
yeah, and they're usually the setup is like a fantasy Tolkien-esque world where like the main races are like humans, elves, dwarves, and stuff like that, which I guess I was going to say usually, but that is pretty much what D&D is. There are other similar role-playing games in which, there's some similar games, but D&D is pretty much exclusively that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's also other tabletop RPGs that have different settings. So, like, you can do it in a future setting, or you can do it in, like, an alien world, or...
Yeah.
You know, whole bunch of different stuff. There's even like ones that take place in the real world where like there aren't like magic powers and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So for instance,
I go to take a shift at McDonald's.
roll for how much you made on that shift.
Minimum wage.
One of my DMs in college decided to write a story that was actually on Earth, but it was set in a dystopian future where electricity had previously existed, like technology previously existed, but then it all collapsed.
And that's kind of cool.
It was like you had to figure out how to, like, it was our job to kind of reunite the world and fix it. There was magic, but it was so limited that only a few of us had it, and we had to keep it a secret or else we would have been like lynched like a witch. So
right.
It was just a really interesting story that we didn't actually end up getting very far because the group kind of petered out a little bit.
Which tends to happen sometimes.
Yeah, it kind of sucks.
It's a hard thing to really stay committed to.
Yeah.
Especially like over time, and especially if it's like pretty much the DM's job to keep it going.
Especially when people have lives, jobs, like different schedules, it sucks. But the beauty of the game is that the DM can make whatever story they want, pick whatever story they want. It does take time to be a good DM, which is why most people start out with official content, like other people's content.
Before they create their own,
Then they learn how to make a good world, how to fully flesh out all the characters and everything. And then the characters, the people, the players, they can just play whatever style they want. If you want to pick a rogue because like you enjoy being stealthy and sneaky and you want to steal stuff.
I like being a sneaky boy.
Then you pick a rogue, you pick like a character that's small or very light on their feet. Or if you just want to bust in the room and just fucking kill everybody you want, you just pick the largest possible race with something like a barbarian. It's great. And then you have all these magic users and everything else. And as you grow as a player, as you progress through the story, your character grows with you and becomes stronger and you get new abilities, which is cool. Like,
there's like a couple different ways to play too, right? Because like there is the emphasis on the mechanical side of it about like leveling up your character and being able to do cool new
spells and attacks and stuff like that. Yeah.
There's also the aspect of like the role-playing
part of it.
That's
a big part of it, Jeffrey.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, but I'm saying like,
I was agreeing with you.
Oh, okay.
I agree with you.
I thought you were, the role-playing part of it, like, it's really an exercise in like immersing yourself in like a fictional being of your own
like
creation.
Like thinking as your character instead of as yourself.
Right.
Like,
I think is like, that part of it is probably what has made it more appealing to non like gamery people in more recent years. Whereas usually it's been kind of this stigma of like being mostly connected with people just doing it to do the mechanical side or whatever, right? And doing these like Tolkien-esque high world things. But the role-playing aspect of it like really does make the game possible to be enjoyed by pretty much a wide variety of people if they're willing to give it a chance.
And that's the interesting thing about it, especially if you do have like a good DM, is that as a player, you don't necessarily need to even know how the game works.
Right.
I mean, obviously, like, when you're leveling up your character, you'll need to look into, like, the different books and stuff to pick, like, abilities and stuff. But aside from that, like, while you're playing the game, you don't have to, like, know, like, what a charge move is or what a backstab is. You can just say, like, I would like to run up and kick that guy in the face. Right?
Right.
You don't have to know what mechanic that is. You don't have to know what that involves numbers-wise. And then the Dungeon Master will say, okay, roll the d20 or roll the d12 or whatever.
They tell you which check to add to it.
Yeah. So, like, as a player, I think Jeffrey's correct. The role playing might even be a bigger part of it than the mechanical stuff, because as long as you have a DM who knows the rules of the game, you as a player don't have to. If you do as a player, there's certain things you can do to, like, you know, maximize your efficiency and stuff like that, which could be more or less fun for some people. But it's really, like Jeff said, it's a lot about the role playing.
And at the same time, it's also about the role play.
See, it's funny. With a double L instead of an L-E. I see what you did there.
Yeah, just as much as the role playing in the sense of R-O-L-E playing, where you have a background to your character, you have motivations, you have alignments that motivate you to do certain things in the game that maybe you as a person wouldn't do in real life, but you feel compelled by your character to play it out that way. As much as that is a thing, there's also the RNG aspect, where you have to roll a die, like R-O-L-L, a die, to do anything in the game besides your basic, like, conversation skills. And even then, sometimes you have to roll to persuade somebody to do something. So it's all based on how your die is essentially how good your character is at a certain skill. You roll that die, and then you add a modifier based on what you choose to max out your character with. So let's say when you're building a character, you have these specific traits. You have strength, dexterity, constitution, charisma, intelligence, wisdom. I think that's it, right?
That's all.
That's it, yeah.
So all of those things affect different parts of your character, like its ability to perceive things, its ability to sense magic, its ability to jump. They have certain stats that affect the role. Like, let's say your character is really statted out in charisma. That means you'll be able to persuade people. You'll be, like, able to befriend a lot of people. You'll be able to,
and if it's statted out in strength, you can be a punchy boy.
You can hit people really hard.
You can be intimidating. If you're dexterous, you can pick a lot of locks. You can be very light on your feet and lithe, climb walls, do all this crazy stuff, and it's really
cool. Sleight of hands.
But at the same time, if you want to max out those stats, you have to dump another stat, which means your character is going to suck at doing something else. So you have to really play into those strengths when you're building a party and make a nice, well-rounded party, or else you're going to die.
And then also role play around those things as well, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if you purposely decide to give your character low intelligence, you got to be kind of dumb. Yeah.
And it's great. Like, we had this one guy who was a tank, and he just maxed out his strength, he maxed out his constitution, and dumped his wisdom and his intelligence. And he only talks in, like, three-word sentences. Just like, Coda smash! Coda want food! And it's just like, it's great, because he plays it so well that we actually believe, wow, he's going to do something stupid when we go in this fight, somebody watch him. So it's so good that all these things can play into your decision making. And it's just a really nice, well-rounded game that brings people together, and you can do whatever you want. And
I love the other thing, actually, if I can thing to something that Jeff was talking about with me the other day, there's also, to go back to kind of the DMing aspect of it, I DM a lot, so with the ability for people to create their characters, you get a whole bunch of different stuff, and sometimes, like in our current campaign, all five of them created characters that are loner assholes. So they decidedly
Chowder's not that much of a loner.
Four out of the five of them did,
and neither is Keenan, really. But
so they decidedly don't like each other very much, the characters. So me as the DM, I'm rough. Like, I need to invent a character in this world who's more of a jerk than these people are, so they can rally around their hatred for him.
Therion is a fucking twat. I hate him so much.
Yeah, he is. He's the worst. So it's The nice thing about it is how collaborative it is. And yeah. I think we spent a lot of time kind of like trying to compare it to other things to get people to understand what it's like. But it's really not like a lot of other stuff in that there's no real other like medium of like gameplay or storytelling, really. Collaborative storytelling anyway. There's no real other medium of gameplay that allows for as much freedom as a tabletop RPG does. Because the amount of freedom it allows for is unlimited,
which is great, and that's part of like why I love Dungeons and Dragons. It lets you do anything that you want, but provides the structure to make it so that it flows well, and it's really just the quintessential tabletop RPG. So that's basically the gist of Dungeons and Dragons.
Hopefully.
Now I'd like to move on to see what our lovely reps have brought to the table. So, Edward, why don't you start talking about Skyrim?
Hello, I'm Edward Ryan, and I'm here to talk to you today about Elder Scrolls series, not Skyrim specifically.
Oh, my bad.
From Bethesda Games, Todd Howard. He's great. Anyway, I did say that I'm talking about Elder Scrolls today, but really that's just kind of a framing device for me to more talk about action RPG video games in general, or open world. Mm-hmm. Action RPG video games more specifically. And the reason I kind of wanted to bring those to the table today is that I think they offer, because, you know, Pat's kind of theme was choose your own adventure, and they kind of offer a different method of adventure choosing. So they do have, the Elder Scrolls specifically, those elements of like making choices that affect the story, not super heavily. That's not really a huge amount of the point in the Elder Scrolls games. But there is some of that. But a lot of the adventure that you choose is due to the open world nature of the game, where there is a main story and there are like main quest lines and factions and stuff like that. And you can go do them if you want. You can not do them if you don't want. You can do them in any order you want. You can do halfway through and just go, nah, kind of done with this. And they create these huge worlds that you as a player and the character that you've created and leveled how you want to make them, either like a mage or a fighter or whatever you want them to be, these huge worlds that you can roam around in and go on kind of your own adventures in, you know, and there will be lots of NPCs to run into and lots of side quests to find.
Chickens to murder in the street.
Exactly, yeah. So,
as you do.
It is, so the reason I kind of bring it is it's similar in like the, you know, creative aspect to a tabletop type of game, but it's more personal than it is collaborative, where you can go through that game and have all these kind of like adventures, you know, in your head, where it's like, that's not exactly what like the game had intended or the developers had intended, but it's stuff that happened, you know, and like situations that you got into and decided. But it's on a more like personal level, you know? So like in the game, specifically, this is Keenan will appreciate this when he listens to the episode. In the Elder Scrolls games, there are drugs. One of the drugs is called Skooma.
Skooma!
Yeah, Skooma. So in Skyrim, there is like a den of like Skooma dealers. Like they're cooking up Skooma in this like fucking cave or whatever. And you can like bust up this drug ring, right? So Keenan was telling me once about a character that he played where this isn't part of the like game mechanics or anything. This is a story that he as a player came up with. And a lot of people have experiences like this in like open world RPGs, not exactly like Keenan's, because, you know, he's a great guy.
Keenan's crazy.
So he was playing a character that he decided was a police officer. So he goes and he busts up this drug ring. You know, he takes them all in, you know, dead or alive. And then he nabbed all the Skooma and became a Skooma addict. So he's now running around Skyrim taking Skooma and just attacking people, right? Because he's pretty sure they're criminals. And so this isn't part of like the game mechanics or anything, but it is something that, you know, it's something that he decided for his character, and it changed the way that he played the game. And I think a lot of people have experiences like that when they're playing these open world RPGs, especially once you've like played through them and done a lot of the like curated content and you still like the gameplay, you find ways to extend it, you know, and you find like your own adventures to go on and stuff like that. So I think that's kind of why I brought that today. Obviously, I talk about it more in the discussion. But I do think it's interesting how even in a more restrictive space, like a video game, like video games are pretty open, but it's more restrictive than D&D, definitely. There's still lots of ways to, you know, choose what adventure you want to have and be very creative with your character and what they do.
Thank you, Edward. That was a fantastic descriptor of the Elder Scrolls series. I actually have only played a little bit of it, but I keep telling myself I'm going to finally beat one of the games. Yeah, let's start talking about some Pokemans there, Jeffy.
Are you going to introduce me, or should I just start?
Just introduced you.
Introduction.
Oh, that was introducing me. Okay, yeah, I'm going to talk about Pokemans. So,
I'm excited to hear about this.
Pokemon, if you're unfamiliar, is a game made by Nintendo, which has had multiple different iterations throughout the years.
Made by Nintendo.
Game
there
Freak.
You
thank you. Sorry.
Pieces. Produced.
Game Freak.
Published. Licensed by Nintendo.
I'm so sorry. I'm the worst.
We still love
but,
you.
But Pokemon is a game where you start off as a young trainer, and you're in this world that have all these fictional magical creatures called Pokemon, and they all have these certain types and powers. And basically what the plot of the game is that you collect different Pokemon and put them on your party, and then use your party to traditionally fight 8 gym leaders and then the Elite Four in Pokemon.
It's like
battles.
Final Fantasy, but instead of like wizards and Sephiroth and shit, you have little monsters.
Because there are definitely people in the world more familiar with Final Fantasy than Pokemon.
I mean, yes, yes, there just are.
Probably.
That's the thing that always bugged me between the card game and the video game, though. Like, in the card game, you just have a fuck ton of Pokemon out on the field at one time.
You can only have 6 at a time.
Yeah, it's different.
But in the original, it's just a one-on-one battle, and then you put the new one out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You put the new one out.
Well, I mean, you know, except for like the card game would be really boring.
That's true.
Yeah,
If you could only play one card at a time.
I've never played the card game, but in the video game, you traditionally have a team of 6 Pokemon, and you battle against another person, and only one is on the field at a time, and you switch them in and out. The reason that I wanted to talk about Pokemon today is because the plot in the Pokemon games is actually pretty minimal. Each game has its own plot, but they all follow pretty much the same kind of conventions. You know, you're going throughout your journey, and you're going to fight the Elite Four, and then there's some evil team who's trying to do something nefarious, they're trying to exploit Pokemon to do it, and then you go and you fight against them, and then you also beat the gym leaders in the Elite Four, and that's pretty much it, right?
Yeah.
So why do you keep playing the game? Because there's always new Pokemon, and that's really the reason people play the game, is because with each new game, you get to use each new type of Pokemon, right? And go through the same thing. So that's kind of where the build your own adventure aspect comes in it, is because you don't need to have any specific team or whatever. You can make it out of whatever you want. You can have your fire, water, grass core and your, you know, things like that for strategic things. Or you could fucking fight the Elite Four with 6 Dunsparces, you know? It'd be hard, but you could try it.
The reason we're all addicted to Pokemon is because 4 Kids fucked us up as children. Yeah. That theme song, man, it sticks with you.
I wanna be.
It's really
best.
Good.
It's so good.
No
so,
one ever was.
It's got an aspect of having this kind of blank main character for you to project yourself onto.
Yep.
Whereas the trainer doesn't matter so much. It's more about the team that you're creating. And you can have different types of Pokemon that you like. And then through things like, I mean, or you could just do it during the normal game, but there's other things that people do to enhance the role-playing, where they do stuff like the Nuzlocke Challenge.
Or they name their character Bitch, so that every time someone talks to you, they're just like, how's it going, Bitch? That's great.
I saw a really funny thing the other day where someone's just like, man, Legend of Zelda is really really great if you name your character My Dude.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, My Dude, welcome.
It's so good.
That's awesome.
And there's lots of fun stuff you can do that with Pokemon, too. Like, you can name their different things. Like, I've seen some terrible ones, like, you know, because like they say like, oh, the Pokemon uses a move or whatever, so it's like Haiti uses Earthquake, it's super effective, and it's just like,
oh no.
Yeah. But I mean, you can name your Pokemon and form your fictional bonds with them, right? And then you can do stuff like the Nuzlocke Challenge, which I'm not going to get into all the mechanics of, but basically the result is it makes you care about the Pokemon that you're using a lot
more.
And
it makes it a lot harder, too, because you don't have as much control over your party's composition.
Right, and from there, people have written a lot of stories about their Nuzlocke adventures, and that's come up with some pretty cool shit, too. The reason that they call it that is because, like, the guy was super into Lost, and his Nuzleaf was, like, based off of John Locke.
Yep.
Yeah.
So funny.
But that looks like that's my time, it so is. That's where we're at.
Let's get into some nice little discussy.
Ooh,
that was stupid.
No, I love it. No, that's where I'm sticking. Let's get into some discussy.
Shut up, fucking!
I want to have some discussy.
Suck a bag of dicks, you motherfucker!
I'll suck a bag of dicks if I can get some discussies.
Roll to suck a bag of dicks.
I got a natural 20.
Then you suck the shit out of those dicks.
Dicks suck.
Right?
Do it's I get like, my discussies?
You
as a
suck
reward?
You suck the dicks so well that you don't have to take them out and suck them individually. You fit the entire bag collectively in your mouth and suck them all at the same time.
As long as I get my discussies.
All right, so, hey, audience. My name's Edward Ryan. You know me. I'm your favorite member of the Common Geeking Program podcast.
It's your boy.
Start this
so I wanted to let you all know what we did to prep for this episode. Normally, we read something or we watch something, but for this time, we played some Dungeons and Dragons.
A really, really shitty one shot.
And Patrick Brem here was our dungeon master.
I was.
Yeah, we found a pre-made, you know, like a one-shot campaign where a one-shot, so you just play through it in one night. It was not great. The person who made it wasn't the best, but Pat did a great job. And I thought maybe for part of this discussion, maybe we would talk about our experience doing that. Unless you guys think that's dumb, but I feel like if we don't, it's kind of wasted time.
I agree.
We can do that.
Should I start?
Yeah, go for it.
I feel like I shouldn't because I just introed this segment.
I'll start.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I will admit that a lot of that experience was kind of tainted by the fact that it was not a great one shot.
Nope.
On the part of the maker, and I was like, oh, we're doing a one shot, I'll use a pre-made dude, right? And we made a pre-made character, and we both did two characters for this one shot, so we'd have a party of more than two, because the one shot was supposed to be for like four or five, and both of the characters that I use had kind of shitty written character sheets, like not even
and incomplete character sheets.
Yeah, and incomplete, like
not even missing like the best feats and stuff. It was just like they put the stats in the wrong stat.
Yeah, like first of all, they put stats in places where they had no business being, like my cleric, who's usually someone who strives on wisdom. My highest stat was strength. And also, like, my armor class was not calculated to take into account things that it has to. So, like, dexterity and armor and stuff like that. So I said on my sheet that I had a armor class of 10, which is the bare minimum. But it also said in my inventory that I had armor on, so that's impossible. So I'll admit the experience was a little tainted by that, and I think it was a little bit weird to do two characters at once, but it was still fun to kind of bumblefuck our way through it.
To contrast it, I made two characters.
So Eddie just seemed really OP by comparison, because his characters were just good.
They were regular. I mean, they were pretty good. I'm pretty okay at making characters. But, like, by comparison, they were, like, god tier. So, like, Jeff would be like, all right, I'd like to use this spell. And Pat would be like,
but also,
oh, well,
like,
Pat would roll
down
and be like,
to...
it missed. I'd run up. I'd be like, I'd like to cut that fucking goblin in half. And Pat would be like, well, you cut all of them in half. I don't know what to say.
You killed them
this.
Instantly.
I'll throw a playing card at him. It slices his throat. He dies.
Yeah, one of my characters threw playing cards. He was Gambit.
The fucking, like, even the one shot was more scaled for the shitty characters that I had than for real characters, because all the goblins were super easy to kill even on level one with your guys.
Yeah.
And I played a cleric named Jeeve. My name is Jeeve. Jeeve of the many changing accents. So I did this because I thought I would not remember which accent I was using for it, so it was a joke. But then Jeeve just ended up being German the whole time. And I also played, oh god, what was her name? Igman? Igman was a rogue.
Igman.
And she didn't do a whole lot, mostly because I was having a good time being Jeeve. But She was a sneaky boy with an eye.
Yeah, no, it was a fun time. And that's one of the, you know, cool things about these types of games.
Yeah.
Is we weren't using original content. Pat hadn't created it. I mean, we were using someone else's original content.
Shitty original content.
And even though it was some content that maybe we didn't find to be stellar, we were still able to have a good time in it because, you know, Jeff and I had a lot of choices that we could make. And Pat, if he wanted to, could, you know, change like some numbers and to balance it a little bit better.
As a DM in a campaign like that, you're not hardly you're not like stuck to the rules that you would be in, say, like a video game where you'd have to like do some hacking to actually change things, you know what I mean?
So that like, is one of the other cool things about being a DM is you can cheat because you're in charge. So,
and also like I mean, I don't know a lot of DMs that really do this, but it is a possibility. Like if you really want your story to go to a place, you can also just lie to the players about like how well they do on rolls and shit, you know, like if it would really fuck something up, you know?
Yeah. Well, and for the most part, I think a lot of people don't do that, at least in my experience. I'm sure some people do. I don't. But I will cheat occasionally. Like say Jeff is like, oh, I want to do this really cool thing. And in my head, I figured out, I'm like, okay, well, he has to roll a 17 to do that. Right.
Right.
And then he rolls a 16. And in my brain, I'm like, oh, but it'd be so fucking cool. Then I'll be like, oh, you passed it, Jeff. You did them? You did it. Well, sometimes I'll cheat against them as well. No, I'll cheat against them sometimes, too. But, like, mostly I like to, you know, play by the rules because I think it's more fun that way. But if cheating is going to make the game more fun for the players, then I will cheat occasionally.
Yeah, that's ultimately right. The
and
best.
I think that that's why you're playing with a real person as your DM rather than like a pre-written story.
The whole purpose,
like,
the whole purpose of the DM is to make the game fun for everybody. Yes, you have to be fair, and yes, like it matters that you have to play by the rules and everything, but the biggest thing is if people aren't having a good time, it's just not going to be a fun night.
Yeah, well, and that's the other thing about it is
you're not going to have a good time.
It also, it's obviously different. Like it's obviously set to purpose with like whatever group it is.
Yeah.
But fun doesn't just mean like, you know, the player characters get to do whatever they want and win all the time. Because like if Jeff does something dumb and his character gets injured or knocked unconscious, well, that sucks for Jeff. But now we've created this whole new dynamic for the rest of the players where they are now in a more intense situation, which can also in itself be very fun.
Yeah.
So I think the thing about it, right, is that really as a DM, you're trying to make like the most immersive experience as possible. And, you know, so ultimately the idea is the immersion is what makes the game fun to begin with.
Yes.
Right. So even if you have to do some things that are going to make some people not have as like as much enjoyment in the moment, they'll have more enjoyment in the long run because they'll feel like they've actually accomplished things when they actually happen instead of it just being like, you can do whatever the fuck you want. Yeah.
Very well said.
You don't want stuff to be handed to you. Yeah. So that's, I think, like the immersiveness of the experience is really like what the DM is there to do.
Yeah.
So I've only DM'd a little bit, but I'd like to hear your guys' experiences on like, because like as a DM, you don't want to be going in just with the expectation that your whole sole purpose is just to create an experience for other people to have fun. Like it's got to be something that has an enjoyment on its own, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, so for me, almost all of my DMing has been in settings I've created,
right,
rather than like pre-written ones.
And I have the exact opposite experience.
So for me, a lot of the enjoyment as a DM comes from seeing, you know, real people move around and interact with
in
and
a world
affect
that you made.
Change in this, you know, world that I made. Yeah.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, coming across characters that I, you know, play out and came up with and situations that I invented, and how will they react to this, you know? And sometimes it's very interesting. Like sometimes, you know, you'll be like, you'll set up like this whole like puzzle and you'll be like, this is gonna be a great puzzle. And then they walk up to it and they're like, oh, I immediately know how to solve this puzzle. And you're just like, oh man, I gotta figure out another half hour of content for tonight's session then.
Or that's when you start fucking with them and you just add random traps.
But then at the other time, you can, you know, set up a situation where they walk into a town. Where they walk into a town, and every NPC they meet mentions this one place that they might want to go to, and they split up the party three different ways and go everywhere else for two play sessions.
That's the biggest
thing. Are you specifically referring to our game with the?
But it was a lot of fun.
But the hardest thing for me is guiding people to where I think they're supposed to go in whichever order they're supposed to go.
Right.
Because sometimes you'll go to a town and there will be like the quest that's meant for them to do at level 4 and the quest that's meant for them to do at level 2, and they just happen to talk to the person at the level 4 quest, and then you have to come up with a way to scale it down or just fucking TPK them.
Right.
Like, yeah, do that. Do the second one, Pat.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is like, you know, like, yeah, sometimes if you've like crafted like a whole like story or like some characters and they just miss it or decide not to go to it, it's a little disappointing as a DM, but it's also kind of exciting because now it's like, okay, I have to come up with some new stuff or do some improvising.
You gotta improvise. It keeps you on your toes.
Because if it's like, if you're like, oh yeah, I got this quest, go find this magic sword, and they're all like, nah, we're not gonna go find the magic sword, then you're just like, oh man,
so
really thought that magic sword would entice them.
Yeah, I mean, I think it becomes kind of a balance between getting to tell your story and getting to grant agency to the people who are actually playing, because like you can't go fully one way or another. It's no fun if you're just using
the players
as a method to tell the story you want to tell, and it's no fun if you have nothing in mind for the players to bite onto and everything is just chaos because they don't know the world that you're thinking of. You know?
Yeah. So I have a way to do right now what we're supposed to do in this podcast. So in like the Elder Scrolls series, you have some similar things you can do and some different things. So as far as like being able to miss or ignore the story, that's 100% there. You can put hundreds of hours into Skyrim or Oblivion or Morrowind and not touch the main story, you know, excepting the opening quest.
Right.
Now, there's not a lot of opportunity to change the main story, but you don't have to interact with it.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, something like Pokemon, you really, to progress in the game and get across the map and stuff, you do have to interact with the main story and complete
you
it.
You do have to do the things.
But that in and of itself, because like you're like building and changing a party throughout, the way that you do it, while it's the same, it's also different, because it's like you can play through the game, you know, with a certain set of Pokemon that make the game a lot more difficult because of the, you know, the Pokemon you'll be facing against might have an advantage against the ones that you've chosen.
Yeah, there's a lot of crippling yourself that you can do to make it more exciting, which is ultimately like the Nuzlocke challenges.
Yeah. So we got like some different layers of how you interact with the story here, which is nice. Good and topic for the conversation.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And I think Jeff's about to jump in. No. Oh, I thought you were.
Well, which, I do have something to say,
But Pat's also, because how Skype works.
Yeah, I mean, I was just gonna quickly say like the difference between something like DMD and like video games like Elder Scrolls and Pokemon is that like a lot of the aspects of the more immersed like agency driven story development of like one's own volition in a video game kind of have to happen a little bit despite the mechanics and story, whereas something like D&D is encouraging that. Like, you know, like obviously with Pokemon you have to go do the main quest, right? You can make up your own story, but you are ultimately ignoring the dialogue that's being said to you.
Yeah,
you know, but that's also true of stuff like Skyrim, right? Like, you know, when Keenan was playing his fucking Andrea Graves, right? It's not like anyone in that world was talking to him as if he was actually a cop, because that's wasn't, you know?
Because he wasn't.
Like, so in those games, it's like more despite the mechanics of the game, if you're trying to get this extra experience apart from the main story of the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Totally agree.
So I don't know. I thought that was an interesting thing to bring up. Go ahead, Pat.
That's Pat. Good. You had a next
one. Oh, also, just quickly before you do your thing, I do want to remind you to allocate some time to the listener. We got
it
a listener
question.
It says
at 20 minutes. I'm keeping it.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
Oh shit, we got a fucking question.
So yeah, we do have one question, I think.
The
question that I thought of as you were talking, Eddie, Edward. Edwy.
Edwy.
I was going to say Edward, and then I said Eddie.
Edwy's doing the discussies.
Edwy.
I'm going to do fromage. Great. Question that came to mind was about the cheating comments you were making. So in D&D, you can cheat insofar as you can lie about the dice roll, or the DM can fudge the numbers and say it was either good enough or not good.
Where
enough.
Is that sound coming from? There's like some crazy.
It's probably a plane in the background or something.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Sorry, go ahead.
I can't really
Welcome
do much
to
about.
Arizona. That's the only place that there's
the thing.
They go in and out of Arizona.
They do. Anyway, the cheating comment brought to mind the mods that happen in, like, the Elder Scrolls games and in Pokemon, too. Like, people modify the game to do different things to have more fun or to make it easier, like, either way. So I wanted you guys to talk about the role that cheating could play in those games.
If I could jump in a little bit, yeah. So in Pokemon, one interesting mod that I was talking about with Chowder and Austin earlier, actually, is that people have modded the game to get rid of like all of the percentages of where Pokemon can show up in the world. So usually in a particular area, you can only find a select few Pokemon, right? And it'll be like, oh, a 5% chance that you'll get this Pokemon, a 10%, you know, whatever, right?
Yeah. Any given area will have like 5 to 10 Pokemon you can catch in.
Yeah, exactly. So in this mod of the game, it's like a randomizer mod where basically every encounter that you have with a Pokemon can just be anything. And that's not limited to just your finding the Pokemon, like you could find a fucking Mewtwo or another legendary, but also every trainer that you fight will have a random team of Pokemon as well. Mm-hmm. So like if people do things like the Nuzlocke challenge with that, which usually means like you can only catch the first Pokemon in each region or each area, and when Pokemon faint you have to treat them as dead, then that can add a whole extra element of challenge to it where you don't really know what to expect even if you played the game before. Like you could have just gotten a fucking Pidgey and then go face your youngster Joey, who usually has a fucking Rattata, but now he's got a Moltres.
Yeah.
And
it's pretty insane.
So like, yeah, there's a lot of things that you can do to like mod the Pokemon games to just make it like a lot more chaotic, because usually it kind of falls on these same systems which people have predicted and been able to like map throughout the years. Like there's whole websites saying like, oh, where do you get these Pokemon, what's the percentage you're gonna find them, yada yada, etc., etc. So that can add a whole extra element of like chaos and stuff like that. Yeah. But go ahead, Ed.
Oh, hey, I'm Ed.
You are.
Sometimes you're Ward. You're really great. As far as mods for the Elder Scrolls games, Morrowind and Oblivion had very large modding communities. Not as large as Skyrim, because Skyrim came out later. And so more people were into modding and more people were into Elder Scrolls. It makes sense. There are a lot of different mods for the Elder Scrolls games, and I think I'll talk mostly about Skyrim here to answer the question, and a lot of different types of mods as well. You have ones that just add in, you know, new weapons and armors. You have ones that'll just like, you know, change the textures on stuff that's already in the game, you know, to either make them look different.
You'll have ones that make all the dragons Thomas the Tank Engine.
Yeah, to make stuff look different.
You have mods that let you have an army of space children.
So to make stuff look different, or to increase like the resolution of the textures in the game to make it look just better.
Right.
And then there's also, you know, there's a lot of like funny, fun mods, like the Thomas the Tank Engine mod or the Randy Savage mod.
Or the one where you're Batman.
Yeah. But there's also a lot of people have created like story mods where they'll add full like quests and stuff into the game.
That's honestly crazy.
To tell stories that they want to tell, you know, or have quests that they want to have. And I think that is, you know, most akin to people making their own third party content for Dungeons and Dragons or Pathfinder or whichever tabletop RPG. It's like making a one shot, you know? Like, you make it, and then you release it out into the world, and other people can play it. And they can play through it however they want, you know?
And sometimes it's garbage.
And sometimes like it's garbage, yeah. Or sometimes it's Moonpath to Elsewhere, which is a really good mod. Go play it. Don't pause the podcast, though. Play it later. Okay? This isn't that important.
It's going to take you a long time to play it, so.
That's honestly crazy to me that they can, like, mod entire... Like, do they model it after other areas and characters in the game? Or, like, so how does that
there's a whole, work mechanically? Okay, there's a whole thing. in like the Skyrim modding community about immersion, where people will discuss whether or not a mod breaks their immersion or not. And some people love when a mod is immersion breaking, like Randy Savage. Some people love when a mod is very immersive, like where it feels like
I'm gonna put you in a casket.
They love when it feels like it is part of the world, like it's supposed to be there. So the thing about Skyrim is, and Bethesda games in general is, they'll release like what's called the toolkit after, you know, X amount of time the game's been out, which allows people to do, you know, to basically do like complete editing of the game. So people can add areas in, add whole new like maps and everything.
Change the gravity.
Or people can take stuff out too for mods. Something as big as like, you know, there could be a mod that like, oh, this city, it's gone. That's a forest now, you know, or something as small as the best fucking mod in the game. Okay. Real quick. It's my favorite mod. I use it. There's this character named Lydia. Okay. Lydia is a follower you can get. So she follows you around and helps you fight stuff. Right. And also she can carry stuff for you. Right. I don't ever have Lydia carry shit, by the way. Okay. Most people don't, because I can carry enough stuff. I'm the dragonborn. I'm very strong. But sometimes I'm like, hey, Lydia, I'd like to give you some stuff because I'm trying to give her some brand new ebony armor or something so that she doesn't die as often. Okay. And you know what Lydia says every goddamn motherfucking time I ask her to open her inventory? She goes,
I am sworn to carry your burdens.
I cut that audio clip in so everyone can hear how much sass Lydia has. There's a mod that just removes that voice line from her dialogue. And now Lydia is my favorite follower.
I like it.
Because it's like all the rest of the time she's like, yeah, Dragonborn, let's go fucking kill some dragons and shit. But then you're like, hey, Lydia, I'd like to give you a present.
I am sworn to carry your burdens.
It's like, shut. You chose this life, Lydia.
She didn't choose the Dragonborn.
You are sworn to carry my burdens. Her, bitch. You swore that oath to me. I didn't come up to you and make a request.
Okay.
You came up to me after I slayed a dragon and saved Whiterun. And you said, hey, Dragonborn, I'd like to help you on your quest.
Settle down there.
And now you're going to sass me? I've wasted a lot of time on this podcast. I'm sorry, everyone.
Yeah, we are now in a minute and 40 seconds over what we were supposed to be.
I apologize.
We actually
anyway, guys, modding is interesting. It's a good conversation piece. Thanks,
we're
Pat
moving
Pat.
On. We're moving on. We actually have
like a top, like a cap reader question. It, you know?
Motherfucker, we got to get
Pat
to it.
Pat is the DM of this podcast.
The first time we've ever had a reader question on an
reader?
Episode. That yeah,
viewer,
listener. Oh my god,
listener.
That?
I said viewer. Sorry. I'm more dumb than Pat.
This is not the first time we've had a question on an episode.
That on
you've
the
been
one
in?
That I've been in, yes.
Gotcha.
That's okay. What I just said. Listen.
Eddie cut you off, so I couldn't hear you.
Listen. All right. This comes from my friend, Ryan Mossbarger. I hope you're okay with me reading your name.
Too late.
Pat's friend, Ryan.
Pat's friend, Ryan. He asks, do you think D&D will ever be mainstream? It's gained popularity, but I feel it hasn't quite broken into everyday life like some other aspects of geek culture. But do you also think that it might lose some geek allure because of its popularity if that happens? What say
Can
you?
I answer the questions in the reverse of which they were asked?
I guess.
Yeah, go ahead.
If it became popular, I don't think it would lose its geek allure.
Yeah.
Obviously, there are some people, and this isn't just in geek culture, this is in everything. I don't want people to get the wrong idea. But there are some people who are kind of like elitist about stuff. And so when it becomes popular, they're like, oh, that's dumb now.
Yeah.
You know, so there would be those people. But for the most part,
I played D&D before. It was cool.
I think people who play D&D, if it became popular, would be very excited that they can talk about it with more people and that they can have more options of people
and
to invite
share
to their
ideas
games.
And stuff, too.
That said, though, I don't know that I think it will ever become popular because it is such an effort and time investment.
Yeah.
Where something like a video game is just, it's a lot easier for people who are, you know, living a life and like working a job and stuff. And not that you can't find the time to play D&D, because you can, you know, a lot of
it's
us
a lot
do.
Easier to put like an hour or two into a video game than it is to put an
then
hour
to get
or two
together
into a session
with a group of five people.
Yeah. You gotta get all the people together, you gotta like get them all focused, you gotta have everything just like really on top of it.
And it's fantastic when you can do it, but for a big percentage of people, I think it's just not an option. Or something that they wouldn't want to have to figure out. So I don't see it becoming mainstream, but if it did, I'd love it.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, I think I'm going to answer these questions in the same order that Ed did. Nice. I think that I agree with you. I think that the fact that D&D is really like an experience based on who you're playing with, I don't think it would change based on who else is participating outside that. Because like, you know, if you have something like a online RPG or whatever, like something like WoW, right, then that might actually change depending on who else is going on. But ultimately, D&D is an experience that you're having like with a group of people that you select to begin with. So I think that he's right. I think that having more people know about it would only enhance your ability to talk about it. Like, for example, with Pokemon, right? Like when Pokemon Go came out, you know, this was a really exciting thing for me because now suddenly all these people, like my fucking parents, know the Gen 1 Pokedex.
Yeah.
And, like, and I can say like, hey, there's a Pidgey outside or whatever, right? And you know, it's like, and people know what the fuck I'm talking about, yeah. You know? And like, I think, that was...
Yeah, it's great.
And in terms of it being more mainstream, like, I think it kind of already has done that over the years because like, you see updates to the game system, like the update to 5e, where it's a little bit more role-playing driven than mechanics driven. And I think that that's kind of to make it more
accessible
to other people. Yeah, because like I've had people who are not gamers at all, and I wouldn't even consider myself to be like a super heavy gamer, that can definitely get into D&D once they've given it a chance, because then they can like really go off of the role playing. And I think what Ed said earlier is right, that like you don't have to know the rules super well to still have a good time playing it, and you know, not just bumblefuck your way through a thing. And I've already experienced in my life lots of people who I never would have thought playing D&D based on the stigmas and stereotypes from the olden days who are just like, oh yeah, I was playing D&D the other day, and I'm just like, oh okay, cool, you know. So it's definitely more prevalent than I think it's kind of stigmatized to have been from the past. And I don't know if that's just like a stigma thing or if it's actually gotten more, you know, utilized in the future. But yeah.
Ryan, great question.
Yeah.
If you or anyone else listening agree or disagree.
Motherfucker, that's my job.
Hit us up on Twitter or Facebook. Let us know why we're
bitch,
wrong.
Or shut right. the fuck up. Let I'm the host.
It's okay.
You didn't even let me answer the question.
Is that in the guide?
Yes.
Oh, you fixed it in post. Oh, my bad, dog. I didn't listen, Pat.
Listen,
I'm sorry.
Eddie. Whatever. Anyway, I would like to answer the question a little bit since you fuckers took up all the time. But I think the biggest thing that limits people getting into D&D is the fact that you have to learn the rules. You have to have somebody who knows the game, essentially. So it's not like you can. It's not like most people just go out, buy the rule books, learn everything on their own, and then start. Like it's through word of mouth from one of your friends. So that's
you gotta have a DM to do it.
That's why it's a slow process. But I think that if it ever got big to the point that everybody was playing it, nobody would think that's a bad thing. Most people want more people to play with. That's the limiting factor. You can't get enough people to play with. If more people were playing, be like, fuck yeah, I got a party every time. So that's, I think, would be a positive. And now you see it being referenced in things like Stranger Things, which is very popular. So who knows? Maybe eventually it'll spread. But that was a very fantastic question, Ryan. I'm so happy you're my friend and that you enjoy this podcast enough to ask us a question. So if there's anybody else out there who is listening,
we love you all.
We do love you. We would like you to keep listening. We want you to submit some questions that we can hopefully answer to your liking, or maybe make you think about something in a different way that you weren't thinking. So we make,
and the questions don't have to just be about D&D.
Yeah, it's whatever you want. Like it could be any geekdom. If you see a topic that you like, think of your own domain that you want us to think about, you could submit it, and we might be able to talk about yet another aspect.
Yeah,
of it.
I mean, like really, we'll take anything at this point.
So we make weekly posts on Facebook. Where you can comment and
just
let
don't
us
ask
know
any
what your
questions
are
about sandwiches.
Yeah, we have a lot of discussions about sandwiches.
We have a lot of sandwich arguments that really we can't air out on the podcast. Yeah. It's personal.
So let's get into the ratings section after quite a long fucking discussion section.
Well, it's the discussion.
We're getting the hang of keeping to the limits. It's fine.
Jeff, what's your shirt say?
I would like to start this out by saying...
What's your shirt say, Jeff?
Eddie and Jeff, thank you very much for being on this episode with me. I love you both. You brought some great points.
Thanks, Pat.
And I am going to have quite a lot of time rating you. But first, y'all motherfuckers gotta rate D&D, and we're gonna do it based on, why don't you do 1 to 5,
can it be a D5? Can we do a D5?
Jeff, what's your shirt say?
No, because I want the golden thing to be a golden
magic D20. Missiles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, do 1 to 5 magic missiles, there you go.
Yeah, magic missiles, let's do it.
I cast magic missile at the darkness.
Eddie, you're supposed to rate this shit.
Oh, I was casting magic missile at the darkness, my bad. Well, you know, Pat, this is a tough one, but I'm going to have to rate D&D 5 out of 5 magic missiles.
Woo! Let's go.
Because it's dope as heck.
It's dope AF.
So my first, D&D foray into Dungeons & Dragons was in high school. Had a great,
protection?
I've had a great time ever since. I've played in a decent number of campaigns.
He didn't hear my joke. I said, did you use protection?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Your first time was in high school.
I was wearing...
some leather armor?
I believe I was in full plate as a paladin the first time I played. So I was in full plate armor and was celibate, so... So we're good on that front, boys. Anyway, I've had a lot of fun playing it over the years, and I hope to continue doing so for the rest of my life. I trailed off there so that it would be like a little awkward. and it worked
effect
out.
Effect achieved.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that very insightful comment. And thank you so much for rating me 5 out of 5. Or D&D 5 out of 5.
Yeah, well, I would rate you 5 out of 5 as well, Pat. That wasn't the topic of the podcast today.
I'm so happy.
I think I'm going to have to give my boy D&D 4 out of 5 magic missiles.
Damn.
I do enjoy Dungeons & Dragons a lot. I still feel like I'm still figuring it out in terms of finding a character that I really like playing and being able to stick with
the same one a bunch, so I don't...
They're not the same... Are you fucking telling me that Gelftig and Scaramava are the same
Alchemist,
thing?
Alchemist, forearms, wings. That's what he does this every time.
That's hilarious.
I've done it twice because I felt like I didn't get enough time with Gelftig and I love him and I wanted to try out some other avenues, alright? Fucking Alchemy has a lot of options, okay? I've also played...
And he picks the same ones. He picks forearms, he picks wings, he picks vomiting spiders every time.
Okay, listen. Gelftig is a fucking crazy motherfucker and Scaramava is a fucking asshole bitch, alright? They're very different characters.
All right,
and that's the role playing.
All I'm saying is you should try some new shit.
He's trying to find the best alchemist before
he moves on to other classes.
Yeah.
The problem is I've got some, characters that I really like to do, and then a campaign falls short or we stop doing it, and I still want to go through those options. I think that sometimes the rules can be kind of burden-y. I did play one campaign in 5e, which I liked a lot more because it had a lot more of a streamlined rules thing. I didn't feel...
Yeah, it does.
It did not feel like I had to reinvent the wheel every time I leveled up my character. I love Pathfinder for its options in character design, but it's got so many fucking things to look through. Taking the time to look through spells and feats every time you level up a character is just exhausting. And it's like, it's got so many options that it makes me feel like there's no way I could be doing the right thing. And then someone else who is more willing to look through every single detail has a character that is OP by comparison. So
yeah,
I think that's
the kind of thing that sucks is you just look up online somebody's optimal build or something and you just follow that and you don't make it your own character. But at the same time...
Oh, I don't do that.
Yes, but I know some people who do that.
Right.
Like, the only way they think they can have fun is if they have the most powerful possible character. Whereas people like to make their own and just have that freedom.
But that bitching...
I do enjoy 5e the most, though.
Yeah, that bitching aside, I think that the great thing about the game is that even if it's got things like that are stifling, ultimately for me, it's about the role-playing, and you can make that whatever you want it to be.
Yeah. The other thing is, too many options is a decent problem to have.
Too many cooks.
Yeah, true. Very true, yeah.
Too many cooks. Spoil the broth, man.
Jeff, what's your shirt say?
So, too many cooks, too many... So, yeah, that's my bit. 4 out of 5 magic missiles.
Have you guys seen unedited footage of a bear?
No.
Like,
what?
Is that a name of a video, or are you asking me if I've seen unedited...
it was another thing that played during the infomercials block on Adult Swim.
Interesting.
Look that shit up.
Okay.
Anyway, back to the podcast.
So
what's your shirt,
CJ? I can appreciate the fact that you don't think D&D is a 5 out of 5 game. I would disagree personally. It's just like one of my favorite things, but I respect your opinion, Jeffy. Next, though, I will award the Gold Stars student, giving my golden D20 to the
your
person.
Golden D20? Yeah,
20-sided dick. I give this to the person I think best represented their domain in response to the topic of Dungeons & Dragons this episode. This is honestly incredibly hard because you're both...
Your golden D is incredibly hard.
My golden D is attracted to both of you right now.
I would hope so, if it's made out of gold, honestly.
That's you know true. What? You don't want a soft golden D.
You know yeah. what? I'm going to let the dice take this.
Oh, come on.
Oh, shit. That's not fun.
It's fun for me.
Right, what
it was appropriate on the Austin RNG episode.
You don't believe in the heart of the dice?
I might.
No, because this isn't if that's, Yu-Gi-Oh.
If that's what I've got to believe in, I'll do
it. If I don't win, it's okay. I already have a copper D20. My friend Ben got me a nice copper set of dice as a present once.
I'm not actually going to roll the die. I just rolled it for fun.
He like that means he got a result, and he was like, "Oh no, I think the other one did look better."
That's how you do it. You when you have a hard time making a decision, you flip a coin, and if you look at the coin flip and you're like, then you know your option. And if you look at the coin flip and you're like, "Yeah," then you know your option. If you don't know your option, then you go with the coin flip.
You're right.
And, like when someone asks you, like, "Oh, do I want you know like a
pizza
sandwich
or French
do
fries?
I want a slice of pizza?" You just say one. It doesn't matter. They'll know what they want.
They'll know. But that being said, the golden D20 goes to our very own boy, Edward Ryan. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Patrick.
I'm so proud of you. Mostly because you fucking owned shit in the discussion. You took that shit to another level. Took the initiative.
Whoa. Since when is monopolizing conversation get you the fucking gold star on this podcast?
He took the fucking initiative, and it's my goddamn podcast.
I rolled a good initiative roll. You know, and I got a critical hit.
Mostly, I just enjoyed all the points you made. It was great.
Basically, I instead of giving my normal acceptance speech, I just want to take this time. At the beginning of the discussion, Jeff told you the names of his characters he played in our one-shot, and I never told you mine. So played a guy named Asher. He threw cards. And then my other character was a barbarian, and he was Sir Miralar of the Shadow Fields, Sergeant of the Blue Shield Militia. I love them both, and I'm going to miss them dearly, since that was only a one-time campaign.
Yeah, but I would also like to point out that Asher was one of the he's a BAMF, but he spawned Jeffrey the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which was a nice little rendition that Edward and I sang to our very own Jeffrey Levitt.
That's true.
Because Asher reminded me of Dasher, so we went off on this on this reindeer tangent, and then at the same exact time when it was time to come up with Rudolph, Eddie and I both said Jeffrey the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and it was a beautiful moment.
It was great.
I will cherish it for him.
I'd like to thank
the Academy.
I'd like to thank Ryan, and I'd like to thank Pat, our DM, for this episode.
Yeah.
One of these days, Pat, I will win a gold star from you.
Oh my god, it's never gonna happen.
Wow. That was biased as fuck.
Either it's really biased or he thinks you're really bad at the podcast.
No, I don't think you're bad at the podcast. It's just like every single time I do it, somebody else just barely beats you out, man. Like, just put shittier people on the episodes that you're on with me and it might happen.
That would be irresponsible as my role as scheduling coordinator.
Be on an episode where you and Pat are the reps and beat him.
Yeah, that's do what you that. Do, fuck me over. Anyway,
I've beaten Pat on episodes, I think.
Probably, but I don't know enough about our own podcast to be able to dispute or confirm that. That about wraps it up for us this week. Thank you, dear listener. You lovely, lovely, sexy person. Thank you so much for listening to our humble podcast. I'm your host,
specifically.
Yeah, just you. You know who you are.
Just you.
Anyway, you can... Fuck. You got me.
You can fuck.
All these.
You can fuck if you want to.
You can leave your friends behind.
Because your friends don't fuck. And if they don't fuck, then there ain't no friends of mine.
That's going to come out so jumbled.
Have fun syncing that up.
Who's editing this? I'm your host, Patrick Brem. Your boy. Your local neighborhood emo boy. You can find me at Patty Ice Official on Instagram. That's the only one I fucking want to give out publicly. Again, I've been joined by our very own Jeffrey Levitt and Eddie Ryan. You can find them at their various Instagram and social media handles if they choose to let you.
At Fake Eddie Ryan on Twitter. I tweet like once a week. Got to keep up on those. There's generally memes.
I don't have either a Twitter or an Instagram. I have a website. I'm just going to fucking say it again. I hate saying it every time because it's a stupid ass long fucking URL.
Change your website domain.
I fucking will, man, but fucking
Squarespace,
getting a domain
man.
Costs money. I don't have any money.
Squarespace.
No, I've got Wix. Dude, I'm Wix.
If
Wix
I buy you a domain, will you use it? Whatever it is?
No. That's a terrible deal.
Bag o' dick sucker. .com. You could also just tell people to go to our website to find it if you don't want to.
Yeah, that's true. It's jeffreylevitt13.wixsite.com/things-I-wish-existed. That is what it is.
That's a very long site. You should probably get a bit.ly of that.
Yeah.
Pause the podcast. Go to that website.
Pause the podcast. Take a long time to figure out if you can write down that URL.
Yeah.
Then come back to us. We'll wait.
Anyway, next week, our episode is going to be hosted by Jeff himself.
It is.
Jeff, what's your shirt say?
Why don't you tell me what it's about, Jeff?
Yeah, we're going to be watching a fun fucking little movie called Rubber.
It's not about condoms.
Great movie.
It's not about condoms. It is, in fact, about a sentient tire that rolls around and blows shit up with its mind.
What's its name? Robert, right?
Robert. Yeah, Robert the tire.
Robert the rubber.
That movie sounds like a clusterfuck. It's an absurdist kind of, I guess, kind of dark comedy.
That's just a fancy way of saying it's a clusterfuck.
Yeah, it is a clusterfuck, but it's not. It's not. It's a
satire in there. A little bit.
It's got some satire. Yeah, and we're going to be talking about absurdism. And you know what? For the first time in a while, we're going to have a guest on this podcast.
Woo!
So we're going to be back up to four people.
Oh my god!
Her name is Genevieve Ayer.
His name's what? John Cena.
John Cena. Yeah, we're having John Cena on this podcast.
Be sure to listen to that episode next Friday.
What's your shirt say, Jeff?
The 13th. Shit.
Oh, boy. Of what?
That's fucking spoopy.
Friday the 13th? I've had another episode on Friday the 13th, haven't I?
Yeah, the fucking spoopy one. The specifically spoopy one.
Yeah.
What, that no, that wasn't
that
on Friday
one,
the 13th.
That came out around Halloween.
Whatever.
It was on.
Anyway.
It was on Halloween. Yeah. Or was no? It could not have been. Yeah.
It was
right
around
Halloween.
Halloween.
Yeah. It was the spoopy one though. It was the Halloween themed one that we.
Yeah,
did
but that does not.
It was not on
Pat,
Friday the 13th.
The 31st is Halloween. It
I
came
understand
out...
that, but we did a specifically spoopy one to air on Friday the goddamn 13th.
No, it aired like 2 weeks after that one.
I'm gonna murder your dick holes if I.
The one that aired on Friday the 13th was the one. That was my birthday.
I'm letting you know. I'm letting you know Pat that Rub. If I find out I'm Patty correct, D. your dicks are gone.
Pat Malone.
That's fine, but I know I wrote the fucking schedule, Pat.
Anyway,
the episode
wait,
that I
how,
hosted.
Anyway,
birthday,
I'm taking back
13th.
The power. You are all shut the fuck up. Follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Geeking Program. Any engagement such as sharing a post, tagging us, or tweeting hashtag CGP will enter you into a raffle where you get to pick the topic for a future episode. Reviewing us on Apple Podcasts is also a great way to help grow our show, and we'll read your reviews on the air. There have been no new reviews in a while, so can't really do that. But anyway, thanks for listening, subscribing, sharing, everything. We love you. You're great people. Come talk to us. Give us some questions, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye. Guys, that was a fun episode. I had a good time.
This episode of the Common Geeking Program is hosted by Patrick Brem, joined by the representatives Edwee Ryan and Jeff Levitt. This episode is sponsored by What Jeff's Shirt Says. What does Jeff's shirt say? Like, I seriously want to know. I have no way of finding out. The podcast is created and produced by Colin Ketchin and Jeff Levitt, with this episode edited by myself, Colin Ketchin, with help from Taimul Chowdhury, and featuring original music also by myself. Next week, we'll be talking about the movie Rubber and Absurdism featuring a guest, so be sure to read up on that film before we talk about it in 7 days. And as far as our raffle is concerned, that will be picked by Monica Ho, and we'll be sure to update you on that very soon. In the meantime, I just want to say thank you for listening to this.
When should we sync up, boys?
Let's go at 40.
Alright. Me see y'all hands clapping. That was a much better clap for me, so.